I have to take advantage of this. This may be the only time they ever let me be in charge here. So I'm Jim Hagedorn. I'm the CEO of Scotts Miracle-Gro, and that's my bird. Started flying as a kid. Went in the Air Force, flew F-16s 7 years, and then been lucky enough to meet a bunch of these people here. So I thought the way I would set up today is a little different than it's probably been. Of course, the star is that old guy right there who is, you know, truly a legend. And, like, no joke, a fighter pilot legend. So the people who are here with me, Bud Anderson, and all you can say about Bud is a true fighter pilot. And if anybody's a fighter pilot here, you'll know what I'm talking about. He's done it for real. Jack Roush, who has added so much to this ability. When I bought my airplane from him, he interviewed me like I was a scrub. And part of it is making sure that if you're going to buy this, you know what it is, that it's a piece of history of the United States, it's important, and that you respect it and share it. And that's part of why we're here. Ray Fowler is a Viper, he's a Viper driver, so another F-16 guy. He's currently flying. He's a Delta guy. So he earns, I guess, money that way. But he probably flies more of the unique warbirds that are out here than anyone. So I asked him if he'd be willing to sit with us. And we're going to, the first part of this is going to be really about being a fighter pilot. And then we're going to end that with Bud, since he's the ultimate fighter pilot, you know, the highest ace that's living in this country. And then we have Paul Draper. Paul works for Jack. He flies all these birds, just kind of learned. So we've been beating the heck out of him the last couple days, teaching him how to fly formation. And we're going to talk about the design of the Mustang. We're going to talk about how to keep them flying, what's unique about them. And that's kind of how I hope this flows. But my notes aren't very severe, so not a lot of notes. I just want to throw a little bit out to Oshkosh. This event, so I'm high right now, pretty much high on Mustang flying. So we flew 3 sorties today, a 6-ship, and then 2 5-ships. The 6-ship had 7 motors because we flew with that crazy twin Mustang that's around here somewhere. That was Ray was flying that. This place, as an aviator, so everybody's got their thing that they get from Oshkosh. This community, for those of us who are lucky enough to fly fighters here, is the one place, one time a year, where every day we will fly military-style sorties, multiple airplanes, just having just a blast. And so Oshkosh, you know, I know that there's all these communities here, and that's fabulous. This community here is really cool. And, you know, so you're here, so I guess you must be slightly interested in it. But Oshkosh is great. Connie Bolin, who's the president of Warbirds, when I learned to fly the airplane, which, of course, another one of these Jack things, he said, you can't fly the airplane until you have 100 hours of heavy tailwheel time. So I had to, but he gave me his T6 to fly. Said, if you wreck it, it's yours. And I got the 100 hours. I passed the, you know, my sort of interview with Jack. Now, you know, he is a little bit of a, you know, I promise not to use a lot of bad language. But he's a little bit of a butthole. Jack made me promise in no contract. he had a contract that says I can never change the name of the airplane. And he made it like he, but he didn't tell me he was building another Old Crow. So I thought it was really unfair. I call that one the faux crow. This is the real crow. So I thought it was a little unfair, Jack, that you like cheated me like that. Okay. Flying fighters, for me, I didn't know what I wanted to do when I joined the Air Force. This is a true story. I kept it to myself, and I knew I was doing well in the first half, flying T-37s, so it was 1980. And at the end of T-37s, the first 6 months, my flight commander, this like A-10 driver, Ralph Hudnall, says to me, here's how it's going to be, gents. Those people who want to like kill people, you're going to sit on this side of the room. And those people who want to fly the killer's toilet paper around, you're going to sit on the other side of the room. Now, a lot of people wanted to be airline pilots, so a lot of people were cool being toilet paper flyers. But he came around to me and he said, so what's it going to be, Hagedorn? I kill people, sir. So that's really like the moment I decided I wanted to be a fighter pilot. It's been a fabulous, you know, it's like today, but flying around Europe back in the Cold War with the most fantastic airplane in the world, the F-16, it's hard to believe you get paid for this, you know. So thank you, America. Thank you, you guys, for paying your taxes. It's great working for the United States. This guy flies Mustangs. He flies that twin thing, Corsair, Zero, I don't know, you know, all kinds of stuff. And he's flying airliners. And he flies the F-16 for the Alabama Guard. So maybe a little bit about your view of being a fighter pilot and the P-51, the F-16.
Absolutely. One, two. This is on. Okay. Thank you, Jim. Obviously, it's a huge thrill just to sit up here on this panel with these people that are very much more accomplished than I'll ever be. But I love being involved with this. I obviously enjoy Oshkosh very much. But same with Jim. You know, part of being a fighter pilot, I actually got involved with the Warbirds of America way before I was even in the Air Force. So I was lucky enough to come to Oshkosh in a T-34, of all things, you know, when I was young and didn't really know what I was going to do. But I got to ride to Oshkosh in a T-34, and I said, you know, and I got to see people like Bud and, you know, other heroes, and I said, I want to be that guy. So I went down to sign on the dotted line for the Air Force, and that's what took me on the path. At the time, the Air Force was actually banking fighters, and they were saying, yes, we'll get you into a flight school, but it may be a year or more. And I didn't know anything about the Guard and met someone that was in the Air National Guard. And it's really unique because most people don't think and don't know what the Guard is. They hear it's the you're a weekend warrior, where the Air National Guard really flies pretty much full time. And I'd say only 40% of the people are kind of your weekend warriors, which would be people that come out and they keep their qualifications, not flying the airplanes, but doing other jobs, enlisted jobs, crew chiefs, fueling. And really, they're there to answer the call, and they go to their real jobs. And obviously, when we get the call that we're going overseas to go fight the war, that is their full-time job.
How many deployments have you had?
I've had 5 combat deployments. Unfortunately, in 2014, I missed Oshkosh. So I know there's several people right now that are deployed that would rather be here. And I was one of them in 2014. Well, these guys were out flying, having fun. I watched the live camera with them taxiing in and out, and I was sitting in Bagram in Afghanistan. So. Again, still nice to answer the call, but this is where I want to be every year. You know, this is, I think Ron Fagan sitting over there smiling, he told me that how excited he gets about Oshkosh every year, and I'm actually the same way. You know, as it kind of builds up, just one, knowing who I'm going to get to hang out with, which I look around and say, how am I here? I don't know how I got to hang out with these guys, but because of Jim. I do give him credit. But it is an amazing thing. Back to the Guard. The Air National Guard actually put a package into every Guard unit in the country. I ended up getting a couple offers to go fly the F-16, and here I am 21 years later, so I'm at 21 years in the Guard and still flying F-16. So it is a young man's game. Obviously, it's a lot of fun to go out and pull a lot of Gs, which I still get to do. But only in the Air National Guard do you get to go and start at an F-16, and assuming your platform doesn't change, you get to, you know, end your career in an F-16. And in fact, we just were announced the F-35, so I don't think I'm going to go to school in the F-35. That's quite a commitment, about a three-year commitment. I haven't said no, but I haven't said yes. But it is an amazing thing to
talk
serve.
About the Viper and the Mustang.
So the P-51, the F-16, everybody looks at this airplane. You know, I think if you could pick any airplane to fly on the top list, it'd be a P-51, right? And the next thing would really be an F-16. And the F-16 has kind of transitioned into the role of what the P-51 did in World War II. So you look at this airplane, it did everything. Close air support, obviously air superiority, air-to-air fighter. So they could go out there and do what we do with the F-16 today, which is the same role. Unfortunately, not as much air-to-air. That's what we'd love to do. So we all start drooling, salivating, just the thought of shooting down another airplane, which in the theaters we're going to these days, that's not very practical. However, the support of the men and women on the ground is what the F-16 really excels at, which is close air support. And most of our time and sorties are basically direct support of coalition forces, U.S. forces on the ground. And the great thing about today, we're still dropping 500-pound bombs just like came off of the P-51, except for the ones we drop don't miss. They're GPS-guided, and we could literally, from 35,000 feet, pull the coordinates of the Scott's Miracle-Gro logo on the ground right here, and it would drive right into this within a couple of feet. So that's the nice capability of F-16, and it does good work for America.